I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's C3 Church Global Podcast, where we talk everything leadership, local church, and how to create great teams and how to lead a thriving church. And we've got somebody who's doing that brilliantly here in London, where we're holding our C3 Europe conference. And graciously, Al Gordon has loaned us his building.
Yes.
Great to have you, Al.
So good, Pastor Phil. A treat to be with you.
Yeah. And now you've got like six locations, about 1,200 people, if I understand it right. And you've had maybe 400 decisions over the last year, and growth by 23-25% each year. And it all came out, it seems to me, came out of a moment where you visited the Asbury revival in America. That triggered something here.
Yeah. Oh, well, firstly, thank you for having me on the podcast. What a treat. I'm a massive fan of what you guys are doing and the whole C3 family around the world. We're a struggling little church in East London where less than 1% attend church. So we, I think, had grown up, group of young leaders, a young church plant, you know, asking God, you know, if we're going to see real change here, it's going to take more than good strategy, good people, good work. You know, we need a move of God. And that's the only way we're going to really see the tide change. You mentioned Asbury. I was fortunate to be able to be there during the outpouring. And I think I've grown up, I was at HGB for many years, watching God move and hungry for the presence of God to really impact what we do. And you can only do so much in your own strength, right? You sort of, if you don't have the Lord with you, then it's not really gonna work. And I think I got to a place, we weren't burnt out or, you know, everything was working actually, we were growing. We'd planted about 7 years before and the church was growing and lots of good things happening. But I think this hunger in me was like, I long for more of Jesus. I long for more of the presence of God. We wouldn't just do an event, we wouldn't just do a gathering, right? That we'd actually have an encounter with Jesus.
Right.
What needs to change in me? I think that's the question. So Asbury was a tipping point for me personally, just experiencing, I think if, you know, I don't know if I can use a surfing analogy. I hesitate with an Australian.
No, yeah, right. Go ahead. Riding a wave.
But you know, you in a set, a really big set, often the first wave won't be the biggest wave. It's a set's coming. It's
right.
Like, okay, you see that ripple. And I, you know, when the first wave hits, you're like, that's the moment to start paddling, to get ready. Asbury felt like that. It felt like an extraordinary outpouring of the presence of God, not comfortable, like scary, like actually the judgment of God. We need to repent. We need to get right. Mm. We need to consecrate ourselves. And we saw in the years after that, the couple of years that have passed since then, just an amazing sense of God's presence. And a few things the Lord's been saying that I'm happy to share, but overall, just the sense that the Spirit is moving in this moment in history.
Right.
We've got to get ready to start paddling. And every one of us listening to this, you know, you got to ask yourself a question. Am I paddling in the right direction? Am I consecrating my life? Am I getting on my knees and crying out to God? And
beautiful.
Start paddling. That's the message.
Right, start paddling. So you are also involved in initiating the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Not the Renaissance, but an innovative, entrepreneurial, artistic initiative. And it's not just local, right? You're doing this around the world.
Yeah.
And creating a book out of that called Spark.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you're going to release next year.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that whole part of your ministry.
Yeah, well, I think we're all made in the image of God. Every human being is made in the image of a creator. And creativity is our secret superpower. Most of us don't use it. We use like 1%, 2% of our creativity. And we have an extraordinary gift from God. You know, there are more neural connections in the synapses of the human brain than there are stars in the observable universe. Yeah. We have an extraordinary gift from God. Mm. And a lot of time the church doesn't have confidence to step into that creativity.
Right.
But the Spirit of God wants to spark in us that ability to leverage that creativity, to use that creativity, to bring it to light,
right,
so that we can make a difference in the world.
Right.
And in the age of algorithms where ChatGPT could probably write my sermon faster than I can, or write a song faster than the best songwriter, understanding that our ability to think uniquely comes from the Spirit of God.
Right.
And so the more we can encourage each other to step into that creativity and spark right. that creativity, the more we're going to see a renaissance flow from the church in our generation. So we need kind of two things this moment. There is a move of God happening right now among young people mm-hmm. on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there is a need for the church around the world to recover their creative birthright mm-hmm. and not copy the world, right. but actually start to create, innovate, shape what the future is going to look like. Yeah. You Christians create futures. Mm. And for us as churches, church leaders, anyone listening to this podcast who's as a leader, investing in that creativity mm. is one of the most powerful decisions you're ever going to make.
Right.
Allowing the Spirit of God to spark that in you
right.
is going to make a massive difference. But you know this, you've been doing this, Pastor Phil, amazing ways.
Yeah, and well, I was going to be an artist, like a painter, before I met
right.
the Lord. And after deciding to follow Christ, I put down all that and
yeah.
And just devoted myself to being a pastor and a preacher. But years later, I felt like it was time to pick it up again. And out of that, we started all kinds of creative initiatives
yeah.
in our church. So the fascinating part of that whole development in the church today is that it's like a different kind of revival.
Yeah.
But the two revivals definitely are moving together.
Yeah.
Which is great, because there's a piece of our human soul that craves, has a deep appetite for expression through the arts. And everybody is creative.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody is creative. So to actually feel the liberty and the freedom in revival to not actually retreat from those areas, but actually occupy.
Yeah.
And once again, build the great buildings. I mean, all the greatest architecture, the greatest
yeah.
paintings have come out of Christian revivals.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
that's
amazing.
Right.
So you were with Nikki Gumbel.
Yes.
In HTB.
Yes.
For like a long
20 years.
20 years. What a
man
great
and
man.
Boy.
What a great man.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Unbelievable the impact that he's
yes.
had and is still having
yeah.
with these new projects. And so as an Anglican here in England, where you have, I think, around about 3,000 parishes that are unmanned. I mean, it is like to see what you've done here with your six churches, the six locations. I mean, getting that duplicated all around England will bring a massive revival.
Yeah.
And are you involved in actually part of that injection of new leaders in these churches?
Well, I think we all are, aren't we? I think,
right.
You know, I was saying to you before we started recording, it's, you know, we're all, you know, what you're doing with C3, you need to plant so many more churches. There's so much,
yeah.
There's so many people alive who need to hear about Jesus.
Right.
And we know the most powerful way to do that is to put a local church near them.
Right.
You know, that proximity to a community who can love them, who can walk with them and disciple them.
Beautiful.
You know, the presence of God. You know, when Jesus is in the room or in the neighborhood,
yes.
people get healed, people's lives change. So,
right.
yeah, we want to see revival. And this is my conviction, is that there is a move of God that is happening
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, I'd love to talk more about, because I think it's a critical moment for us.
Yeah.
It's like John the Baptist says,
yeah.
you know, prepare the way for the Lord.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to get ready. And that's going to involve leadership.
Yeah.
It's going to involve humility. It's going to involve people getting ready to lead,
right.
like giving up the day job.
Yeah.
And booking the sports hall in faith, and
yeah.
booking the primary school, and booking the, you know, getting ordained in a denomination which might seem beyond hope, but actually
right.
God is never finished.
No.
You know, he's never done.
Right.
And so for us in our journey here, you know, we know that in these cities where we're sitting today, you know, we've got a building here that was pretty close to being closed. You could see daylight through it when you sat in it, through the roof. And when it rained, we had to move the chairs depending on the prevailing wind, you know. But we had this vision that God was going to bring a renaissance to this community. And
right.
we started, you know, with a group of 50 people praying, and then it became 250 and 500, and it's now, you know, probably over, well over that. And we've planted multiple buildings. And I think, you know, that the heart remains the same. We're here to bring hope to the people of our neighborhood.
Right.
And the same as every C3 location, wherever you walk in the church, if you're listening to this podcast, you walk in this church, whether it's in Australia or in America or Latin America, wherever you are, Europe, you're thinking about how can we bring hope to the neighborhood? How can the presence of God so fill us that we would go back to our schools and our workplaces and our homes, and the presence of Jesus would walk in the room with us?
Beautiful.
So yeah, we're all in. We're all in for restoring the ancient ruins.
Yes.
Isaiah says that here we are. There's some ancient ruins in England, and but actually they're powerful. We've been worshiping as a community on this site for 750 years. We're just getting going.
Amazing.
Right? You know, that's the that's the warm up. That's the that's the warm up in heaven, right?
Now you're getting ready for this. I mean, it's interesting that Asbury was sent by Wesley to America.
Yeah.
And he did a pretty good job, but I think he ended up going on his own. So that but now the effect of Asbury University is coming back into England. So yeah, let's talk a little further about how pastors and leaders listening to this can actually get ready to look into how they could handle Gen Z and this revival that's happening in their area.
Yeah,
wherever,
fascinating.
Wherever, because it's happening all around the world.
It is. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to know your thoughts. I'll start. I can tell you my story. So on the plane back from the outpouring in Asbury, I mean, I was broken by the Lord in half, and like God just met me in remarkable ways.
Yeah.
Just nothing radical. I didn't levitate or, you know, and that's remarkable about the presence of Jesus. I think in this generation, he's coming, drawing us back to his face rather than just, he said, you've sought my hand. You've seen me do things, but actually just spend time with me. So actually having spent time with Jesus, like I, in the sense of the, and we've all been to great conferences, we've all been to great moments, great Sundays, great, you know, when we're, but this is like when God comes raw and unfiltered, it's terrifying.
Right.
There's not, it's not a drill. It's, so I remember thinking, gosh, you know, there's a few things that, that really mark me, repentance, holiness, consecration, the sense of I'm a proud, prideful man.
Yeah.
I need to get right. I've, you know, so getting back on the plane, I felt the Lord say two things to me. And I'm not one of these guys who says each morning I felt the Lord say 10 or 15 things.
I felt
really clearly the Lord say two things. I was sitting right at the back of the, I'll never forget, American Airlines flight, weeping my way back. The two little seats by the loo at the back of the plane next to my friend Steve had come with me. Yeah. Last two seats we get. And it was a terrible flight and I couldn't sleep. I was just weeping all the way across the Atlantic. I was so like, I don't want to leave the presence of God.
Right.
Just beautiful sitting with Jesus. And I was like grieving. Like I had to go back down the mountain.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it when Peter's like, can I build a tabernacle up transfiguration? Let me just stay here with you, Jesus. And as I'm on the plane, I felt the Lord say, first thing he said, Al, you've got 18 months to prepare your church for revival.
Okay.
And look, I've taught on the prophetic. We don't do dates and mates. No, this date, you're going to meet this girl. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, we're Anglican. You know, we're not like, in 18 months from now, the Lord is going to do this. That's not my vibe. So I was like, really, Lord, are you sure? So I found myself in this conversation with the Holy Spirit, like, that's great, Lord. I hear that. It can only be you because I wouldn't have made that up. Like, what a strange thing to say. But are you sure? Because it doesn't quite fit the prophetic criteria we have, Lord. So anyhow, the Lord was like, no, you've got 18 months to get the church ready for revival. I was like, that's a strange thing to say. And so I got my iPad. I started making a list. Okay, we're going to get rid of the drum kit. They had a drum kit at the outpouring. They had a kid on a cajon. I was like, let's get a cajon. Started making notes. Yeah. And then I felt the Lord say the second thing. He said, I'll change nothing but your heart. Oh, that's a lot harder.
Yeah.
It's so easy to change the superficial. But actually the heart, if God goes for your heart and he wants the change of a heart, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So we came back to the UK and I stood up that first Sunday and I remember talking to the church about what I'd seen. And I've known how important it is to spend time in the secret place when no one's watching.
Right.
And just the heart, like getting right with Jesus. Like, sorry, Lord, for the dust on my feet.
Yes.
And we've begun to see God do amazing. The lower we go, water flows to the lowest point.
Right.
The more we repent, the more we consecrate, the more Jesus seems to come.
Right.
And in the weeks and months after that, we saw extraordinary things begin to happen in London. You know, unity. We prayed with, you know, friends' churches locally. We did this joint prayer gathering. Now we get around about 1,000 young people packed in on a Monday night in the middle of London. You know, it's crazy, the unity, the level of prayer. So in terms of what I'd say, going back to your question,
like,
there are kind of three things that I've noticed that we can get ready. How do we start paddling? Number one, consecrate ourselves.
Right.
You know, like in Joshua, consecrate yourself. The Lord's going to do something amazing tomorrow among you. And every one of us can do that. Get on our knees behind closed doors, say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, what is the things that you need to get right with God?
Right.
Where are the things that are spoiling your intimacy with God or your... You know, consecration and like that can only happen through the presence of God.
Right.
Secondly, learning to contend in prayer.
Right.
I know you guys do this. You got a prayer meeting today, like praying, crying out for revival, not settling for here's the shopping list of things we need.
Right.
Or here's the building project we're trying to get done or the capital campaign. Like, God, rend the heavens and come down.
Yeah.
Like, do not pass us by, like Moses said.
I saw in your annual report, 23,000, I think 175 hours of prayer.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
we track it.
Log the prayer.
Yeah. We never used to. And now we understand that prayer is God's love language.
Yeah. Well, Spurgeon, when he was here with the great, you know, London Metropolitan Church, one of the biggest in history still, churches, his secret, he said, is 400 people who are praying down in the basement.
That's it.
And
that's it.
Just a continual prayer meeting. So prayer, just get if believers could get the context of prayer inside that, things like consecration will happen, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and because you've put yourself in a position where God can actually inspect you.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, honestly, we didn't know how to pray.
Right.
And when we did pray, we got together for like prayer meetings, but they were kind of like, you know, like we'd minute it.
Right.
You know, we'd plan it for the minute. Or then we're going to pray for this political issue. We're going to pray for this thing. Pray for this. But actually the thing of pursuing Jesus up the mountain, like saying, God, we're not leaving until you bless us.
Right.
You know, we are going to hang on. Like every single time, God, you know, you think of every single significant encounter.
Yeah.
You know, the woman holding on to Jesus' garment.
Yes.
Like, we're not going to let you go, God.
Right.
Like there is a heart cry for our generation that's not going to just business as usual. We're just going to do church. We're going to have a great event. We can turn it all off, put all the lights in boxes, get on our faces and cry out for the presence. Like, God, do not pass us by in this moment.
Right.
So contending in prayer. And the third thing that we found is unity, like a common communion with God and with each other, like the unity. And there's something happening around unity. And Pete Hughes and I lead very similar churches. A friend of mine, Pete, runs a church called KXC, another friend called Wale.
Right.
Off the back of Asbury, we came back, we're convicted by God. We're like, we're in competition. We're not like, you know, it's like football clubs. We all cheer each other on.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we're all thinking, well, I hope my church is doing better than yours.
Yeah.
And God broke that competition.
Right.
So to the point where the three of us got together, we repented.
Wow.
And then we repented publicly. We taught each other churches saying, we're sorry that we've been in competition.
Wow.
And then we called our churches together to pray. And these meetings when we gathered in unity have been fire. Like, like there is unbelievable power in, you know, we know that in Psalm 133, when brothers and sisters dwell in unity, God commands blessing.
Right.
So I think getting ready is going to involve consecration, contending, learning to pray, and then committing to a common union with each other.
That's awesome. So coming back to the word consecration.
Yeah.
Not everybody may understand what that actually means.
Right.
It's first recovering an altar.
Yeah.
And certainly in our churches during COVID, the altar was one of the things that couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Because you're not together and in a place where, so as soon as we came back, I was urging all of our churches to make sure they were having times where there was an altar for people to come forward and do business with God, or him do business with them.
Yeah.
However, and I think that that's the beginning of consecration, right? How have you seen people like live it out?
Yeah, I think it comes to the presence of God. When Jesus is in the room, you can't, sin can't stand.
Right.
You know, there is a conviction that comes over a meeting when the presence of God comes, that we've just seen, you know, we're not having to do altar calls. People are rushing to the front.
Right.
and like crying out, like, how, you know, how can I get saved?
Yeah.
More people coming to faith than we've seen
ever. Yeah.
And they're not messing around. They're like, they want freedom from pornography. They want freedom from addiction.
Right.
They want freedom from their pride, or their, you know, they are desperate to get right. And when the presence of Jesus is in the room, it brings love and the kind of holiness of God at the same time. So for us, I think we're not having to, the secret for us has been behind the closed doors as leaders to set ourselves apart.
Right.
And that has involved two things: repentance vertically and horizontally reconciliation relationally.
Yeah.
And I've spent as much time talking to God about my sin and him talking to me about my sin as I have talking to my friends and colleagues and my team about, hey, how have I messed up? Right. How have I led badly?
Right.
How have I hurt them?
Yeah.
And trust me, I was like expecting it to be a short list. And people are like, how long have we got?
So, oh, that's painful.
Well, yeah, but it's good. It's the cross cleansing, the cross is horizontal and vertical.
Yes. Yeah.
The two come together.
Yeah.
And for me in my life, like, you know, the phrases that we've sort of used, you know, more and more is like, are we good? Like I'd say to God, like, are we good?
Yeah.
And I'd say to my colleagues, my friends, the staff team I lead, like, are we good? Have I done anything that you want to hold me to? And as a senior leader, sometimes people are like, oh, you know, they want to know whether you actually mean it.
Right.
Or are you just going through the motions? But actually, I want to walk in holiness with Jesus and in forgiveness with my friends.
Right.
Because otherwise, I'm going to lead out of power rather than presence.
Yeah.
So for me, that's been a big shift.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, so Francis of Assisi, he, you know, that little book, Practicing the Presence of God, that is really essential for anybody who wants to be in touch with the Lord. But he found joy and laughter would come out of that presence as much as anything else.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. When we provide the room in church services for the presence of God to come, things that you thought were okay can sometimes be not.
Yeah.
And things that sometimes we thought were not okay actually are.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting change of point of view that presence can bring to your perception.
Yeah.
Right. And so just coming back to the Renaissance concept.
You're such a good interviewer, Pastor Phil. Wow. I love it. I love it.
Well, I'm trying.
No, you are.
Still
you
learning. Are. The Renaissance is a different kind of revival.
Yeah.
But it's
amazing
that those two are in tandem.
Mm.
Right here in London, where we are in Hackney, there's more creatives apparently per square inch here than anywhere else in the world.
Right.
And so being here is very providential. Like God has put you here so that all these creatives can come to a church where they feel they're not going to be tolerated or rejected. They're going to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And can find a space for actually expressing that. And as I said, for me, that's being a whole human.
Yes.
Not just being a spiritual person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because becoming more spiritual doesn't make you less human.
No.
But actually there are, and I think part of the trouble for some ministers even, who have felt that that's kind of not, you're not meant to do that.
Yeah.
You're not meant to have a hobby or an artistic expression, or you're just meant to be this purely spiritual thing and all that soulish and fleshly or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's there by God in our nature. And to, I think a revival of both coming together argues for a really great future.
Yeah.
Ministries and churches.
Yeah.
Because they're dealing with the whole person, not just that spiritual element. Do you find a lot of the people coming to your church are creatives?
Yeah, I think they definitely, lots of creatives coming, but it makes it sound like it's a sort of terribly cool church. Also lots of single mums coming.
Yeah.
And actually being a single mum is really creative. Like I think,
Totally. You
know, the idea of, I think we box creativity into a box of paints or a book or a, and actually being human is creative.
Right.
You know, we are made in the image of a creator. There's two words in Genesis when God talks about creativity in the first account of Genesis, bara and asa. One refers to God making something out of nothing,
right?
Like totally ex nihilo,
right?
Bang, wow. The other is making something out of something. So yeah. he takes things and rearranges atoms. Right. So let there be light, bang. Yeah. He took the dust and formed the planets and the earth and separated yeah. and made plants and animals. And these things came from the dust of the cosmos that was already in creation right. when he spoke original creation. But when he makes mankind, yeah. humankind, he goes back to that first spark, bang,
yes.
creation. He says something out of nothing. So we are unique in the creation.
Totally.
And we have in us this incredible DNA yeah. of our, the fingerprint of the creator that yeah. made the universe
yeah.
lives in every believer and right. in all human beings. In fact, I think in this moment of the age of the algorithm,
yeah.
where machine learning is probably going to be able to do tasks quicker than we are,
yeah.
what are the human race good for?
Yeah.
What is the future of humanity? This is yeah. beyond the church's message to the yeah. culture. It's like, what does it mean to be human?
Right.
There are thinkers like Noah Yuval Harari, secular atheist thinker who says this is the end of the line for the human race. Right. He writes a book called Homo Deus, which basically says that this may well be the last generation of Homo sapiens because after that will be combo with machines.
Yeah.
Now, that is not the gospel. The gospel is that we are made in the image of God. And yeah. therefore, the recovery of a message to the world that says, you are loved.
Yeah.
You're made with a purpose.
Right.
You are, you know, the light of the world
yeah.
shining in the darkness. You are made by this God who created you out of nothing.
Yeah.
And you have the capacity to make things
totally.
Originally.
Totally.
You know, the truth is the world is going to look for people who can talk to the algorithms
right.
and write the code of them. You know, that's the thing we're looking for now. Is leaders who can think differently.
Yeah.
So my kind of the convergence, if you like, of the move of God that's happening right now in
right.
our culture and creativity, you're right, it's the same thing because a spirit-empowered creativity
totally.
Flowing from the church to the world
totally.
Is going to what rescues the next generation.
Yeah. And creation is infinite. I
right.
mean, like the universe is never-ending, so creativity is never-ending. There's always going to be a million more songs.
Yes.
Like for somebody to say, oh, all those melodies have been done now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they haven't. There's
no.
just, it is infinite like God is infinite. And
yeah.
and I think that I don't know if you've read Erwin McManus's book, The Artisan Soul.
Yeah, I love Erwin.
Yeah, I've read that
yeah.
twice. And that whole message of his, like the church is often relegated an area of people saying that's the creatives.
Yeah.
But his argument is that everybody is a creative, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind that the accountant, who's often pictured as the most uncreative person,
yeah.
just jotting down things, he is creative.
Yeah.
And can imagine and dream. And I do believe that a revival should maximize everybody's potential
yeah.
At every level. But as you say, you know, we've just come to a close shortly, but I think those three things, it begins by getting on the altar.
Yeah.
And even though we slide off every now and
yeah.
then, like our tongue might slide off on Friday.
Yes.
We need to get it back on Sunday.
Yes.
So we're not gossiping, we're
yeah.
not
yeah.
criticizing
yeah.
or complaining, but I find keeping my tongue on that altar
yeah, yeah.
is one of the most slipperiest
yeah.
little beasts there are. But
yeah.
to keep our hands on the altar so
yeah.
we're not doing things on the computer and with
yeah.
the TV set that so they're holy, like you say. And
yeah.
I really agree with you that for the church to have revival, it begins by just putting ourselves on the, in that altar, because that's where the fire falls.
That's where the fire falls.
It doesn't fall out on the street, it falls on
yeah.
the altars.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can get our people to be in that place, it would be awesome. Can you pray for us,
yes.
the C3, and
I'd love that.
You know, pray for me and pray for our leaders that we will, you know, be part of
yeah.
what God is doing around
yeah.
the world. Thanks.
Well, such a privilege. And likewise, please pray for me. And
yeah.
Before we pray, I want to yeah. throw one final thought I'm going to pray into.
Sure.
There's a study by NASA around children and adults and creativity. And NASA found that 98% of children under the age of 5 registered as creative geniuses.
Huh.
But by the time they got to adulthood,
wow,
it had flipped.
Yeah.
To 5%,
whatever.
The thing about God's creativity in you is that we unlearn it.
Wow.
But God can help restore it.
That's amazing.
And so my prayer is going to be real simple, that the Spirit of God would saturate everyone listening,
right,
that would lead them back to the garden where they would learn to restore their childlike wonder, and that they'd be a walking tabernacle, the presence of God, wherever they go into their week ahead. So shall I pray that?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Be awesome, please.
Father, we thank you so much for everyone listening. Thank you so much for Pastor Phil, Pastor Chris, and C3 around the world, the amazing blessing this movement is to the church in the world, and the creativity and the presence of God working through them. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd restore in one of us right now, by your Holy Spirit, the fire, the spark of our childlike wonder.
Yes, Lord.
That you'd ignite in us a fire of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That would flow and burn from the churches right out to the world.
Yes.
That you would light up the night, that we'd be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And Father, I pray for those listening who are struggling with confidence in the area of stepping into the presence of God and out into making a difference in the world, that you would just draw us with your love again and fill us with your courage. And as you said to Joshua, be bold, be strong. The Lord your God is with you. Mm. Consecrate yourself, because tomorrow I'm going to do extraordinary things among you. We pray that prayer for all listening, that you would spark an amazing renaissance in us in the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Yeah, that's been great. We're here in Al's church, one of his locations. Massive, beautiful building that is, I'm sure the bricks here are just so happy to hear praises from God. You know, we're going, oh, this is what we were built for.
They've been waiting for this moment. So.
Yeah.
C3,
amen.
Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. And so, we're having our European C3 conference here, as I mentioned earlier, and we're really thankful to Al. God bless you. Thanks for listening in. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.